Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Tiki and Tierney. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio and Intercom Station. Going to talk a little hockey now. Jeremy Roenick, NHL on NBC analyst. Game 7 coming up tonight. The Boston Bruins hosting the St. Louis Bruins, Blues. JR, how you doing, man? You excited for this one?
What's up, Tiki? How are things, buddy? It's going to be fun. There's no question about it. Hey, listen, it's Game 7. Don't you dream about Game 7 when you're a kid growing up?
Well, like, if I had played a sport that had 7-game series, then, yeah, I would have dreamed about it.
The Super Bowl is one game, which is the same thing. It's one game, and you can decide it.
So, yeah, that's a good point. You know, that it is your Game 7. You just have one shot at it.
Listen, you know that the trophy is in the building, and it's going to somebody. So yeah. That is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you're getting ready to do the NHL pregame show on NBC. You guys got to be jacked up, and I'm sure the energy up there in Boston is out of control. The obvious narrative is experience versus no experience. I think there's only one guy on the Blues who's played in the Stanley Cup, whereas the Bruins have a bunch of guys who were back on the team in 2013. How much does that play into this, Jeremy?
I think it plays a little bit, but when it comes down to a one game wins all, I think it just comes down to, you know, the effort, who wants it most, who plays the smartest, and who's the most disciplined. I think, you know, anybody can beat anybody at a one game series. So, you know, I don't think the experience means much of anything. This is just pure grit and who wants it the most. So that's why we love Game 7.
Yeah, it's a talking point, right? It's like, hey, you've had more experience, you have a better opportunity to win, but that's not necessarily the case.
Well, I think also the nerves will come in. I mean, for the people that haven't been there, that this is the first time that they have the ability to win a Stanley Cup in the final game. I would think the butterflies become way more intense. But those leave as soon as you get smacked up against the boards the first time, trust me.
That's funny. I was getting ready to ask you, how do you get rid of butterflies? Because I remember this when I was playing football. That first hit, I was pissed, right? It wasn't about I'm nervous anymore. It's like, how do I get this thing on? Game on right now.
That would be my first thing of a shift.
Yeah.
To hit somebody really hard or get hit. Because that's the best way of getting the adrenaline going and getting right into a game.
We're talking to Jeremy Roenick, NHL on NBC analyst. And JR, what's going to be the key in this game? Obviously, the goaltenders also have a wide experience gap. Tuukka Rask has been here many times. Bennington from the other side is a rookie. What's going to be the key in your mind?
Well, I think for the Blues, they got away from their physicality in Game 6. I think they tried to play a little bit more of a finesse game, tried to beat them away from the boards, where they've been very successful at that physical game, getting the forecheck and pounding the defense, making sure they had a lot of plays down below the goal line. Where they were really good is when their offense originated from below the goal line. The physicalness was just so intense and all of a sudden disappeared. And, you know, what they did also is they took penalties again. You cannot put the Boston Bruins on the power play.
Yeah.
Number one, the Blues power play is atrocious. They were 0-for-4 in Game 6. I don't think they've scored a power play goal more than one in the series.
Yeah, no, they're one for 18.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that being said, you win playoff games with special teams also. So, for me, it's you know, that's their keys. And for the Boston Bruins, they have to play with speed. When they play in the other team's face, they close gaps down. They don't let them have time to think about their next play. They usually turn the puck over. And when they turn the puck over, the Bruins' transition game is incredible. So those are probably the keys for both teams. But, again, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the Blues team shows up tonight.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, though, you mentioned, you know, their style of play. What, you know, they need to be more physical. They can't play this finesse game. But doesn't it? I mean, it's counterintuitive because you're talking about how bad they are in the power play, but the Bruins are been amazing in the power play. 7 of 21, I think it's 39 or something percent over the last couple of games, which is phenomenal. But if they're going to play physical, aren't they putting themselves in a more susceptible position to be stuck a man down?
No, it's discipline, right? So there's a difference between being physical and being disciplined.
Yeah.
Now, the disciplined is taking, stupid, lazy penalties like hooking, elbowing, making sure that, or the tripping, or delay of game, like what happened to put them on the 5-on-3.
Yep.
Just have to pay attention to detail. So, those are all little things that, that discipline is a much different aspect than being physical. So physical is hitting strong, hitting hard, hitting smart, and hitting it at the right time. But the discipline aspect is when you get really lazy, you reach, you slap on the hands, and you're not really thinking mentally. So those are two totally different aspects of discipline.
We're talking to Jeremy Roenick, NHL and NBC analyst here. Now let's talk about Tuukka Rask, who has been so good over, especially these last couple of games. The one behind the back in Game 6 was just awesome. He's kind of just sitting there and everybody slapping at it. But just looking at his record in Game 7s, it's not great. 3-2 all time is 3.18. I'm reading this now. 3.18 goals against average, which hasn't been fantastic. What do you expect from him? And the question I ask to tease this segment, because he's been so good, even if they lose, is he going to be the MVP?
I believe so, no question about it. I think this has been a different Tuukka Rask than we've seen him in his whole career. He's been more focused. He's been more determined. He's been he's made that bigger save. I think he's been tougher to score on. All those stats that you see in previous Game 7s, he's doing things this playoff season that he's never done. And you see his record in elimination games. So I just think he's been so spot on, and I truly believe that win or lose, especially if it's a low-scoring game, nobody's really done anything really incredible in the finals, I don't think, that's going to warrant taking it away from him.
Yeah.
On both ends.
Yeah, so the Conn Smythe should go to Tuukka either way. Now, look, you played in four. Samson just looked this up for me. I think four Game 7s, and you were 2-2, and the two wins, you won, get two goals in each one. What's the mentality of preparing yourself, just as an individual? I'm not talking about a team, but like as an individual. How do you do that?
I think I have 6 goals in my Game 7s. I think I believe something like that, which is, for me, pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked being, being the guy that showed up right in the big games.
But how do you, that's easier said than done, right? It's like a cliche. Big players step up in big games. Like, but how do you do that?
Well, I think it's a mental thing. Want to play well, but some people want to have the puck.
Yeah.
And that's a different story. When you want to have it, you're better things with it. There are some people, literally, that will love to skate around and do all the hitting, but, keep the puck away from me because, they're afraid of making a mistake with it. So I think the guys that have the confidence are like, I want this, give me the puck because, I know I can do something good with it, usually are more prepared to get it because they want it more. It's a mentality. There's no question about it. But different players are built differently and think differently.
Yeah. How much of coaching is going to come in into this Game 7? Obviously, Bruce Cassidy's been here before, and you talk about the experience. But the rotation and what the lines are going to look like. How much of that plays into the Game 7? And who has the advantage?
I think it does a little bit. I think it more so for the St. Louis Blues because they're playing against arguably the best line in hockey with Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak. They're very deadly. You see the Boston Bruins record when they score goals. Their power play is extremely sharp.
Yeah.
So who they play, as a front line against them, what defensive pairs they play against them, and how they're going to be able to get those matchups, not having the last change. So it becomes a little bit more for them. But again, coach shouldn't have to, do too much to get you prepared for this one, especially emotionally. This should be a layup. If you're not ready to play this game, a game like this magnitude tonight, then it's probably a good idea to find another professional.
Samter shorted you, by the way, on your stats in Game 7s. 6 goals, 2 assists for JR. Jeremy Roenick, NHL on NBC analyst. All right, so who do you like? Who has the advantage? Who's going to take home the Stanley Cup in this Game 7, the one that we've been waiting for? And by the way, I didn't realize there hasn't been one in the Stanley Cup final since 2011. Like it's like lore almost, you know what I mean?
Well, not only that, but it's the first time that Boston has ever hosted a Game 7 in Stanley Cup final.
Is that right? In all the history of the Boston Bruins? Wow.
Exactly. So the last Game 7 that was in Boston was the Boston Celtics 35 years ago today. So So it's a very rare thing, no question about it. But the way that Boston played in an elimination Game 6, I would be shocked beyond belief that if they didn't have the momentum, didn't have the mojo, being at home, knowing what this game is all about, knowing how they play in big games and how Tuukka Rask has played in elimination games, I would be shocked if the Bruins lost this game.
Yeah, and also just to wrap that thought, it's championship town up there right now. It's the Patriots.
They can finish the hat trick.
Yeah, right. It's crazy.
Never have a city owned all three, championships all at one time.
You're right.
Obviously missing the NBA, but that's pretty special.
Yeah. What's the fan base going to be like up there tonight?
I'm scared actually to be at my set.
Oh, because you guys are outside, right?
Yeah, because we are outside. We are amongst the crazies. all the streets are blocked, and there's no question that they're going to let everybody let loose. And with the exception of maybe Flyer fans, I don't see many fans crazier than Boston Bruins fans. This is it's going to be crazy before, but if the Bruins win, I mean, we're gonna have to get helicoptered out of here tonight.
Do you have post-game duties as well, JR?
Yeah, we'll be on the ice, talking to everybody as they're celebrating and try to get their final reactions and feelings after what it was like to lift that cup. It's going to be pretty special.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. So you got to get to work in about an hour and a half or so, and we'll catch up and see you again on the tube in about 8 hours or so. JR, I appreciate you hopping on with me. Okay. Always, it's a pleasure. And good luck and have fun tonight.
Thanks, T. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Likewise. Jeremy Roenick, NHL on NBC Analyst. He's a stud. Great. We talk about every time we have him on. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He's not, but he should be. Kevin Durant posted an update about his injury on Instagram just a few short minutes ago. We'll get the latest and what it means here on TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio. So Kevin Durant just posted on Instagram a message, a photo from a hospital bed, and saying the obvious, that he had just had surgery on his Achilles. So we now know that he had a torn Achilles, or at least significant enough damage that he required surgery on his Achilles. Interestingly, all of the media members now posted it like they got inside knowledge, but they got it directly from Kevin Durant. I found out, my sources have told me, yes, Instagram told you, that Kevin Durant had surgery. And look, I think we all kind of suspected this. We knew that this was going to happen. You know, what goes forward is just, it's so speculative right now. We hit this a lot yesterday, whether or not he opts out of his contract with the Golden State Warriors for next season and becomes a free agent, or whether it's best for him to stay. Because he's not going to be valuable. Maybe he could be valuable to a lot of teams, given that he's not going to play mostly probably the entire year. But his mother, Wanda, was on Good Morning America this morning. And Wanda's great. I told you guys the story. I met her taking the shuttle going down to D.C. Actually, I was going to Boston. She was going to D.C., but the shuttle over at LaGuardia all is in one little terminal. And she walked up to me, said hello, because they were Maryland, and she remembered me from when I was at University of Virginia. And we had a nice conversation, and she's just a powerful, overwhelming, emotionally warm woman. And so listening to her on Good Morning America with Robin Roberts, it was interesting, like the hurt that she feels from the criticisms that were thrown at her son. A lot of people blamed, they didn't have the competitive spirit to be out there. That's why he was sitting. And some of this was because of nonsense writing and articles that were written about why KD, if it was just a mild calf sprain, why wasn't he playing? These were internal anonymous sources that were reporting this from the Golden State locker room. And, you know, I get it, but I also know that what Kawhi Leonard did last year, which we all questioned, myself included, had, you know, no real basic understanding of what Kawhi was thinking. But Kawhi ignored it. Kawhi didn't want to jeopardize his season or his career because he didn't feel right about his quad. And we all remember this. It was, you know, he's soft. He's go out and play. Tony Parker even put him on blast, which because they had the similar type of quad injury, which, you know, probably fanned the flames of that fire of his exit from San Antonio. And when you think about, you know, the difference of these two, it's Kawhi doesn't listen to any of the narratives that are out there about it. He doesn't care. He doesn't care to engage. Doesn't look at his mentions. Kevin Durant, on the other hand, is very aware of them. Maybe in a intellectual combative nature, but he is very aware of what people are saying about him. And it kind of informs you why, unlike Kawhi, who decided to sit out with his significant injury, KD decided to come back because he listens to all of these folks. One of the things that Wanda said, and I don't know if it means anything, but she did say that everybody in the Warriors organization shares some of this blame. She's not absolving her son, I'm sure, but the medical staff who gave him the belief that he was okay to come back, the coaching staff, I'm sure his peers on the team who were imploring him, we need you back. They viewed him as a savior. Obviously, he was for 12 minutes, and he was flawless in those 12 minutes that he played in Game 5. But then I see this tweet that Wanda Durant, at Mama Durant, tweeted. And it takes me back to what I thought and what I said yesterday about what KD's thought process would be. Maybe he has discussed his future plans with his mom. Maybe he has not. But this is what she said, quote, "For all of you who question my son as a man, question his heart, question his integrity, and question his love for the game of basketball, you don't," all caps, "you don't know him. He has the heart of a true warrior. This too shall pass. God bless you all." I wonder if she's saying something. I wonder if she's saying KD's going to be a warrior. Stay as a warrior. You know, it's what you do in the social media world, Samson. Don't laugh at me. Don't roll your eyes at me. It could be
a hidden message. She put that on there just for people like you and me to see that word and say, oh.
Yes, exactly. Because warrior is proper. It's not warrior with, like, that's a warrior over there. Like a random warrior with a lowercase w. It's a capital W. It's proper warrior, proper noun, like the Warriors, like the Golden State Warriors. I don't think that's on accident. She's very deliberate with capitalization on this. For all caps, who question my man, blah 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 blah, his love, all caps, for the game of basketball, you don't, all caps, He has the heart of a warrior, proper noun. I'm just saying.
It could be something. I mean, I've read reports that KD is going to ideally use his player option as a last resort. It seems like he wants out of the contract, and maybe if the Knicks or whoever else will give him the deal. But, like, we're hearing all this stuff about how much he loves the game. Yeah. You know, Bob Myers, he loves the game. He's misunderstood. His mom is, he loves the game. He's misunderstood. Does that matter?
No, I mean, of course he loves the game.
Yeah, I mean,
the question is where is best for his career going forward? And I mean, I like the idea of the Knicks. I really would love it. It would be cool because we could actually go watch KD play. I haven't been incentivized to go see the Knicks since Jeremy Lin.
Let him go to the Nets then.
I don't want to get on the 7 train. I don't want to go all the way to Brooklyn. It's a hike.
True.
It's a hike.
True, but Barclays is way cooler than MSG at this point.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about Barclays? This is a complete aside. Have you been out there recently? Have you seen it recently, D-Cell? Samter, have you seen it?
Maybe like a year ago was the last time I was out there.
So I drove through because of the Brooklyn Half Marathon. So the start is – the start is right near Barclays Center in Prospect Park in Brooklyn. So I parked right next to the Barclays Center. Remember how it was like this dark obsidian color and it just looked like this imposing, structure in the middle of Brooklyn? It's now all rusted. So think of a red rust color. The whole thing is just this red rusted color. And
I wonder if that's intentional.
That's the exact question. That's why I asked if you'd seen it. Because it's kind of cool, but then you think about what it actually is, and it's like, dude, that's just a rusted old building.
It kind of makes me think about...
It's not cool. Because when it was brand new... And it was like silver. It was like it wasn't black, but it was like silver blackish. It was badass, man. It was like, man, this building is cool. And now I see it, and it's all like rusted,
orange. But it could be a positive effect. Like when you think about the Statue of Liberty, it started out as bronze, and
true,
and now it's green because of rust and age and wear.
But this isn't.
And can you imagine the statue not being green? So like this, maybe this was like intentional. They knew it would kind of.
It's funny because I was driving with Tracy, and
butterfly
I was like,
out of a cocoon.
I was like, do you think that was intentional? I mean, they had to have known. They had to have known it was going to rust.
But listen, if you're KD, forget about the rust. If speaking of getting the rust off, if you're KD, would you rather play with D'Angelo Russell or Kevin Knox? I guess RJ Barrett is the option there now, too.
You know what? If I'm Kevin Durant, you know who I'd rather play with? Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. I'm just saying.
I know you're not in the game of predicting, but so if you were in his shoes, what he will do, what you think he will do. If you were in his shoes, you would stay in Golden State?
If I was in Kevin Durant's shoes, I would stay in Golden State.
Long-term or just next year while
he
recovers?
Because here's why. You have a chance. Go to the Knicks, win a championship, do what, great. It'll be fantastic. Maybe you even get back-to-back. But you're never going to have the opportunity to do what you can potentially do in Golden State, which is help take that team back to the finals for the 6th straight year, and then the 7th straight year, and then the 8th straight year until, these guys get old or move on and can't do it anymore, and become the modern real dynasty like the Celtics were. He can't do that anywhere else. Yeah, he can reestablish his legacy. And I think if he wins another championship in Golden State and he's the finals MVP, it officially transfers from Steph's team to KD's team. So I would stay. And California is much better weather, especially in San Francisco, than you would be in New York or Barclays. No knock on New York or Barclays because I love it here. But
So just thinking of just long-term legacy, right?
Long-term legacy.
When you look back at his career.
He has a better chance to make the largest legacy ever in Golden State. Or San Francisco.
Even with that team around him, you don't think, even looking back,
even
people
with
will
that
say...
Team, even with that team around him. Because think about how great that team already was.
Right.
Right? And then he went there and became the greatest player that team.
One of the things I always think of is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who BT always says is the greatest player of all time.
Yeah.
People think of him as a Laker, obviously as a Buck, Lew Alcindor.
Yeah, eventually you can't bounce around too many times, right?
But that was the thing. So he went to the Lakers, and when people think of the Showtime Lakers, they think of Worthy and Magic and mm-hmm. Pat Riley, and obviously Kareem was the greatest scorer of all time. He was a great player, but when people think of the Showtime Lakers, they think of Magic, and so it hurts Kareem's legacy to an extent. Yeah, he has those MVPs.
I don't think it hurts it.
It overshadows to an extent. He has those MVPs. He has those championship rings. He has the Skyhook. He has all those things that the Lakers brought him while being there. But you look back, and I wonder if KD is going to have that same thing. That people are going to look back and say, well, KD was great, but that was Steph's team.
Yeah, and
Steph won the two regular season MVPs
I agree. Unless he stays there and wins a couple more championships. Seriously.
I mean, he's got two. He's going to have to win. I mean, if they win this year, I guess he gets a third ring technically, but he's not going to be a part of it, at least not in the finals. He's going to have to you know, get to that 5, 6, 7 range.
I agree.
To match MJ or even pass him.
He's not doing that in New York. That's all I'm saying.
No, but if he went, like LeBron, his one title in Cleveland is more valuable than his two in Miami. KD's one in New York will be 10 times his two in Golden State.
Why is the one in Miami, why is the one in Cleveland more valuable? Because he went back home?
A, it was home. B, he brought a team and a franchise and a city.
And he beat this Warriors dynasty.
Yes, but it was a franchise that needed it. It was his home that needed it also, right?
Like, I mean, the Knicks have a storied history, but it's old, but of winning championships.
Right, but they're also old. The Knicks, right? And if the Knicks haven't won since the 70s, right? They haven't had a chance since 99. So if you win a title there versus winning two with a team that is coming off back-to-back finals appearances and the greatest record in regular season history, Kevin Durant won two. But
he was.
If he wins one in New York, It's Kevin Durant brought the Knicks a title. Legacy-wise, it means more. But he wins one in New York versus three more in Golden State. What's more valuable there?
You're biased. Be quiet.
I hate the Knicks.
Inbounds and out of bounds coming up next. Let's get an update from Richard Ackerman. Today's Power Rankings brought to you by GNC. At GNC, they set the standard for quality, innovation, and superior products. If you're not 100% satisfied, they'll gladly give you a refund. And if you find a lower price, they'll match it. GNC. Live well. Visit GNC.com or a store for details. Here are your MLB power rankings for this Wednesday afternoon. The Houston Rockets are blazing at 46-22. Or Houston Astros, I should say, are blazing it at 46-22. First in the AL West, and they're 8-2 in their last 10. The Dodgers are right behind them, even though they've been on a little bit of a slide, losing four of their last six, but they're still first in the NL West at 45-23. The Minnesota Twins in the Central, 44-21. They are first, 7-3 in their last 10. And a pair of AL East squads round out 4-5. The New York Yankees are tied with the Tampa Rays at 45-25. The Yankees, though, are trending down a little bit, 3-6 in their last 9, whereas the Rays are 6-2 in their last 8 games. Great job by the Rays. They're still amazing. Think about them from last year when we had their skip on and talking about Kevin Cash, talking about how they're starting relievers, and I mean, they still only have what, three? I think two right now. Blake Snell, Charlie Morton. There's another one. I think he's hurt. Traditional starters, but good job, Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio, getting ready to do inbounds and out of bounds. But they still don't have the traditional starters at the Tampa Rays, and it's one of those things that you thought was a gimmick and wouldn't, like, be sustainable, but it works for him. Sam, are you ready for inbounds, out of bounds? Yes.
Oh, that's a yes. I was giving you a thumbs up.
Like, can you acknowledge inbounds and out of bounds? Yes.
I think ready? I can handle it.
All right, let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, your favorite show, HBO's Hard Knocks.
I don't hate Hard Knocks.
You never had the cameras.
I mean,
in your training
camp. You say that like I despise Hard Knocks. I don't mind Hard Knocks.
Oh, okay. Do you enjoy watching it?
No, I don't watch it at all.
Do you just dislike it from a standpoint of
you don't need that access.
Distracting.
You don't need that access.
Yeah, but fans want that access.
Of course they do. They don't deserve it.
Give us what we want. Anyway, Hard Knocks has become a staple for football fans each year, providing an inside look into various teams' training camp activities. However many coaches, players, executives, and Tiki have found the cameras and filming to be intrusive and distracting to their ability to focus on the field. The league can force teams to do the show against their will if they fall into certain categories, and brothers Jay and John Gruden have battled back and forth trying to push the show on each other, and it appears that Jay's Redskins and his case may have been more convincing to get the Raiders on the show.
I think, really, if they were smart, they would go to Oakland. I mean, seriously, I mean, what an entertainment value that would be. Antonio Brown, John Gruden, Paul Gunther, Montez Burfict. I mean, incognito. These guys got to be crazy not to go to Oakland.
First of all, it's perfect, not perfect. But anyway, yesterday the NFL officially announced that John Gruden's Oakland Raiders will be featured in Hard Knocks this season. Inbounds, out of bounds, the Raiders are the most interesting team in the NFL heading into 2019.
You know, all those names that you just laid out kind of make it seem like they are, but I actually don't think they are. I think that the Cleveland Browns are the most interesting team. Well, they will be the most interesting team this season, obviously with the addition of Odell Beckham Jr. and his relationship with Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield going into his second year and his firebrand form of leadership and being a quarterback. I think you look at the defensive side of the ball, where Myles Garrett is trying to turn into the stud that everybody expected him to be when he was first-round draft pick 2 years ago in 2017. Denzel Ward was a stud. Like, this team is developing an attitude. Got a rookie head coach in Freddie Kitchens. I mean, I think the Browns are the most interesting team, but I think the Raiders might be the most entertaining, given AB and all the antics that are bound to be covered in this training camp.
Are you in or are you out?
Even with the fact the Raiders are leaving Oakland as well, you know, that last view of their Oakland love.
Is this their last year? They're still kind of undecided, right?
So next year they are going to Vegas. The question is if they can be in their new stadium by then.
Oh, that's what I'm. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yes,
2020.
But they may not be in their new stadium until 2021.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yesterday, we discussed the new MLB voting system for the All-Star Game. Mm-hmm. After the league released the early American League tallies, yesterday baseball revealed the NL voting. Thus far, without many major surprises, MVP frontrunners Cody Bellinger and Christian Yelich lead the voting. However, high-priced Padres free agent pickup Manny Machado is sixth among third basemen.
Wow.
While Phillies key addition Bryce Harper is sitting 10th among outfielders. 10th. Neither of them would be in the final voting based off of the new system. Inbounds,
that's
out of bounds.
That's just for the starter.
For the starters.
Yeah.
But based on what they're doing on the field, the only way they're getting in right now is by starting and being voted in, because their stats are not necessarily up to all-star par. Inbounds, out of bounds. It would be bad for baseball for high-profile stars like Machado and Harper to not be on there also.
I'm saying out of bounds here. Baseball is in particular about meritocracy. It is about performing. And it's measured not just in wins and losses and how you look, but specifically with numbers, right? Baseball is one of the few where the numbers really tell the story. I think about, you know, completion percentage in the National Football League. A quarterback could have 71% completion percentage, which looks amazing, but he could just be throwing bubble screens over and over and over again and checkdowns to running backs. Baseball isn't that way. The stats don't lie to you. So I think this is out of bounds. I think the spot should go to those players that earn it, even if it's not the guys and the names that we necessarily know.
Are you in or are you out?
Yesterday, we discussed the U.S. Women's World Cup team's historic 13-0 domination of Thailand and France. U.S. soccer legend Alex Morgan netted 5 goals, while 2015 hero Carly Lloyd added the Baker's Dozen goal in the 92nd minute. Pull back a little bit, girls.
No.
Well, we'll continue. However, many around the world, including myself, questioned the team's celebrations after each goal, with some calling them excessive and classless. This morning, Morgan responded, telling ESPN it would have been, quote, disrespectful if we don't show up and give our best for 90 minutes. While Megan Rapinoe added this with Fox Sports.
I mean, I understand it in part, but honestly, it's like, first of all, this is the World Cup. This is, you know, something that Lindsay and Sam and Rose and Mal, they've been dreaming about for their whole lives. So you can't fault them for that joy. And I think, honestly, if anyone wants to come at our team for not doing the right thing, not playing the right way, not being the right ambassador for the sport, they can come at us, because I think our only crime was an explosion of joy last night. We've been really pent up as well. It's like we've had kind of a heavy lead up. Obviously, everything off the field. And I think for us, it was just, you know, so much joy and so much happiness. So if our crime is joy, then we'll take that.
Inbounds or out of bounds, it would have been more disrespectful to Thailand to ease up on them rather than to celebrate each goal.
It's inbounds with this, Sam Turm. I mean, I love that. If our crime is joy, I'll take it. That's awesome. And this is the freaking World Cup, man. This is not like, let's play pickup in the backyard with the kid. It's interesting because there's also an indictment, if you read about this, and I have been reading about this, against FIFA and how FIFA is not doing enough to develop programs in places like Thailand. There's a limited number of players, Taiwanese players, that can play. There is not nearly the facilities or the federation, because every one of these countries, America, U.S. has a federation as well. The Thailand Federation is not spending the money that some of these other nations have spent. And as a result, they get on a national stage and rightfully get embarrassed. You get in what you get out, what you put in. Thailand, FIFA, they're not putting enough into their soccer program, and therefore, what they got, they kind of deserved. I'm going to say inbounds. They USA put out what they put in, which is a lot. They've been doing that for a long time. Most successful World Cup team in world history.
Are you in or are you out?
That's surprising from a guy who gave the ball back to the ref after every touchdown. I'd be surprised to think that you would have spiked the ball and danced in the Super Bowl if you scored.
It's what you do in soccer. When you score, you slide across the grass.
I know, but just because it's the World Cup doesn't mean that it's okay to...
You Brandy Chastain it and take your shirt off and all these
other things. Yeah, but that was a penalty shootout winning championship.
By the way, we're gonna get her on next week, Brandy Chastain.
Can't wait.
And that penalty, I read from... God, why am I forgetting the goalie's name now?
Brianna Scurry?
Scurry.
Something like that. I forget exactly.
She explained this, I think it was in USA Today, how that almost didn't happen. Because there was a corner kick against the Chinese. For those who don't remember, it was 0-0, 0-0, and there was a corner kick. The Chinese are precise with their corner kicks. And she was beat. Scurry, right? Yeah, she was beat. And Christine Lilly was right there to head it out. And that's what allowed it to go into overtime, into the free kicks. And Brandy Chastain, the Chinese goalie, whose name was Gao, had owned her. She had stopped her before. And so it was in her head. And her coach made her go lefty as opposed to righty. And that's what was the difference maker and why she was able to do it.
Are you in or
are you out? That
wasn't
even in and out. We were just talking.
That was a great conversation. I can't wait to speak to Brandy. Or for you to speak to Brandy. Last October, Conor McGregor made his return to the octagon after a two-year absence that included that much-hyped boxing match with Floyd Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
However, McGregor was dominated by undefeated champion Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Wow, you crushed that.
I know that guy's name. Losing the match by submission in the fourth round. After the fight, we remember Khabib's brother and trainers jumping into the cage and attacking McGregor. Since then, McGregor has announced his retirement, continued to hurl insults at Khabib, was arrested for destroying a fan's phone, and pleaded no contest to his 2018 attack at the Barclays Center on a bus.
By the way, you have that Khabib down perfectly.
Khabib Nurmagomedov, yes. Yesterday, Khabib discussed a possible rematch while promoting his next fight at UFC 242.
Last 3 years, he have only one victory in amateur boxing, you know. How he deserve rematch. He begged me, please, don't kill me, you know. Now he talk about rematch. Tony Ferguson on the line, you know. People who have win streak on the line, but not the guy who don't win nothing last 3 years.
Ouch. Mm. The facts hurt, Conor. Inbounds, out of bounds. Conor McGregor does deserve a rematch with Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Out of bounds. Conor McGregor, and Khabib made a very good point. There's guys, Tony Ferguson, Dustin Poirier, who he is fighting. When is that fight? Next September 7th, yeah. September 7th. These guys have winning streaks going on right now. And Conor, if you look at the rankings, the lightweight division rankings, he's ranked 7th right now. I mean, Conor's got to earn his way back up to claim that he deserves a fight with the champ. So, out of bounds here.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Yesterday, we got a call at the end of our show. Sabrina, up in Toronto, asked us a question. Or she made a statement. And Kawhi is already the best Raptor. Is he? If he wins, we'll explore. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.